What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
All right, so with the Knicks now heading into the All-Star break, and you think about the way that they played with technically the first half of the season without Mitchell Robinson and with OG on the shelf, I mean, I think they've held their own. They're 8-2 in their last 10. The two teams in front of them, Boston and Cleveland, are better than them. And I know you're not all that worried about the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the fact they got DeAndre Hunter, but previously to that, I'm not. I think that the Knicks can beat them in a 7-game series. I don't want to say easily, but I think that they might even be the favorites in a 7-game series. It's Boston that's the problem. You know, I was thinking about the expectations and falling short of them and what they might be and what the fan base is going to be satisfied with. And, you know, I really think that the, like, acceptable minimum for the Knicks is a competitive Eastern Conference Finals series against the Celtics.
It would be like the Mets getting to the NLCS.
And right. And also, you know, they won two games and they were just, they were beat. Now, the Mets last year, though, were not geared up in the way that they are this year and geared up the way that the Knicks are. So, like, you felt like them getting to the NLCS, it was almost like gravy at that point. With the Knicks, like, if they go into that series and make it to the Eastern Conference, and if they lose before that, then forget about it. But if they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and get their ass kicked by the Celtics, you're going to feel like they're no closer to winning a championship than they were the previous year.
If they get Mitchell Robinson back and he's healthy and OG Anunoby is what he can be and what he should be, then I think they can play with anybody. As long as they don't go helter-skelter. You know, what happens when it's amazing. When they play teams that are better than them and you can see it, they get a little helter-skelter and their shots, they don't hit their shots.
Yeah, I mean, it's been basically two teams to me, and that has been that really concerned me are the Celtics and OKC. In those games, they don't look like one of the better teams in the NBA.
But I also saw it against the Lakers. You know, I saw that same, like, helter-skelter, kind of like forcing up shots, missing shots, nervousness that, you know, LeBron's in the house. And, you know, and they were playing against the banged-up Lakers team.
Yeah, that was definitely a bad loss. But they also, you know, that win against Memphis was very good. The win against Denver was very good. So they've had
the Denver win, I would say, yes, probably one of their better wins. But I don't know what it is. Like, I know it's these games are just arduous. They go on and on and on and on these seasons, and they have to be healthy when they hit the playoffs. But if they get Mitchell Robinson back, I think, you know, and OG's 100% and everybody is healthy going into the playoffs, then I think they have a legit shot.
Yeah, I think the difference between last year's team and this year's team is last year's team, you didn't know if they were going to be talented enough to get there. But you knew what you were going to get from them every single night. This year, you know they're talented enough to get there, but you don't know what you're going to get from them every single night. Does that make sense?
Especially against the better teams.
Yeah.
The one thing about them is that, you know, they'll beat most of the time, 90% of the time, they're going to beat the teams they're supposed to beat. And last night was indicative of that. I mean, you know, Atlanta's got a losing record. They're missing a couple guys. You know, some freak things happened towards the end of regulation. Then they got to win it in overtime. And in overtime, it looked like they were going to lose.
Yes, it did.
When overtime first started. So it was a good job by them staying with it. And it's a back-to-back, as Tibbs said. And now they get a break now. And for Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson to be starters in the All-Star game, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and for the Knicks, the Mets, and the Yankees, the expectations are so high. I mean, you know, for the Mets, it's to get back and play the Dodgers in the NLCS and hopefully beat them. For the Yankees, it's to get back to the World Series and either face the Dodgers again and beat them or face the Mets potentially or another team in the National League and win the World Series. And for the Knicks, I really think it's, you know, getting to the finals is just a big ask with the Celtics being there. But it's, you know, taking the Celtics to seven games. If you're going to lose that series, you know, make it interesting. Lose it in five to the Celtics doesn't make me feel good about where the Knicks are. Because in the NBA, you could be better than 98% of the league and still really far away from winning a championship, as we saw with the 90s Knicks.
Let me ask you a question. Like, and this goes to all the teams around here. If you had to swallow a disappointing season and you had to trade players away, it's mostly basketball, hockey, and, of course, these baseball teams, the trading deadline, knowing that you could get a superstar by clearing the decks. I guess it all depends on who that superstar is and how old that superstar is, but would you do that? Like, say, like, if I told you that last year the Mets had $310 million in salary.
Yeah.
Okay? And you know, they had to drop three or four guys in order to sign Juan Soto, and they had to lose and trade away guys. Would you have said yes to that?
No, I probably would not. No, not the way that you're describing that, no. I mean, lose and trade away guys and just to bring that guy in. So, you know, for example, with the Mets, you don't feel like they really lost. We talked about Iglesias not coming back, but that wasn't because of Juan Soto. That wasn't a money thing, you know?
I just had an epiphany last night. Because I was watching, you know, the Four Nations between Canada and Sweden. And okay. I know how you love when we talk about
this.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay.
But it does involve the New York Rangers.
All right.
And I had an epiphany that I do think if there is a chance that the Rangers, you know, they could sneak into the playoffs and get a hot goalie, anything can happen.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Or as the trade deadline comes and you have some assets that you could trade and take some money off your salary cap to sign a superstar next year, would the Rangers do that?
Well, that's a team that probably needs a little bit of a shakeup. You know, it's a little bit different. When you talk about the Mets and where they were, you know, this team with the Rangers feels like they need to go in a different direction. So in that right. In that case, then probably.
If it happens, I could see that setting up right now.
Right now.
I can see it setting up right now. And Alan, I want you to remember this name because you're a big sports guy and you're a big sports name guy. All right, say it after me, all right?
You got it.
Mikko Ratnan.
Mikko Ratnan.
There you go. Remember that name.
And he plays?
Right now for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Got it. Hockey.
He was traded from the Colorado Avalanche and he's now playing currently for. Now, if he doesn't sign a contract extension with the Carolina Hurricanes in the next 3 to 4 weeks, maybe they trade him. Boom, red, white, and blue next year.
Interesting. Keep an eye on it. You heard it here first.
But you'd probably have to move some more money off of your salary cap, even though the cap's going up next year. But I think somebody's got their eye on him.
All right, 8:10, February 13th, 8:10 a.m. Boomer's got Rantanen going to the Rangers.
Rantanen.
Let's go to Bobby in Belmore. What's going on, Bobby?
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
How you doing?
Gio,
they only play the Celtics in the quarterfinals, not the conference, because they're 2-3 seed.
Well, all right, fine. You get to the... So,
yeah, well...
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
And number two, there's got to be something, because Iglesias is 380 with runners in scoring position, 480 with runners in scoring position, and two out. How can you not resign this guy? It's like a one-year deal. Forget the development of the other players. This guy's a proven player and a proven winner last year and had a .337 batting average, which was tops in the league with his at-bats.
Yeah, Bobby, listen,
understand. There's something that no one's telling us. I don't understand.
Well, you got to remember, I mean, the season that he had last year was essentially an anomaly in his career.
Right, but why can't you just give him 1 year? I mean, in order to give him a long-term contract, no one's offering him any. I can't believe the Yankees aren't going after him either.
Well, they may now. I mean, who knows? And, they're right up against the luxury tax that Hal doesn't want to go past. I don't think that's the issue with the Mets. I actually believe David Stearns when he says what he says about keeping it open for the younger players. For me, I would have moved on from Jeff McNeil and kept Iglesias, but David Stearns is probably thinking we're not getting that same thing out of Iglesias again. And then again, his defense isn't going to disappear, that's for sure. And he was so good defensively last year.
Yeah, well, I think it's just one of those decisions that they made where they can't give everything to the fans that the fans want. And they caught lightning in the bottle with him last year.
Yeah, but like what Bobby said, though, it is cheap, one-year deal. You could find a way to do it. But,
yeah, but I don't know. What do you think he would want? You think when we say cheap, what do you think? You think he wants like $3 million a year? I don't know what he's looking for. I mean, he had such a...
Listen, it's not going to be Alex Bregman's contract.
You know, it's one of those things where Pete Alonso probably felt like he was being shunned by the Mets because of the contracts and everything else going on. And that's why Steve Cohen, to his credit, flew down there, talked to Pete, and made him realize, yeah, we want you here. We want you to be motivated, and we want you to be a part of this. You know, Pete said, look, I want to win a World Series with the Mets. I want to be with the Mets. So they came to an agreement. I think for us as Met fans, I think we're happy. I know we're disappointed that Jose is not going to be a part of this team. At least right now he's not. But
yeah.
you never know. I mean, like, we're not really sure what's going to happen with him.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually a little bit disappointed, too, because I gave you a gift this morning, and you said you were going to cherish it, and it's face down on the floor right now. So, I mean, it's like, it made me feel like crap.
I mean, what do you want me to do? Wear it on my forehead?
No, I mean,
what am I supposed to do with this?
What I would have done if I were you, I would either found a place in the studio for it to display, or I would have brought it into the office like you told me it was going to do. I wouldn't have discarded it onto the floor face down where the autograph is on it.
I put it over here, and when Allie left, she knocked it over.
And you just left it there. Trust me, I saw the whole thing. I was waiting for you to pick it up.
Why didn't she pick it up?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, she has to rush to get home. You know, I mean, that 40 minutes that she's here really knocks it all out of her.
Yeah.
So. Could be worse. He could give it back to you in a year and say, hey, look what I got for you.
I thought about when he gave it to me, who I was going to give it to next.
No, I actually did.
I actually did. And I do have a person that I'd be more than happy to give it to.
Are they here or someone else?
It could be somebody in my family who is a huge Mets fan, who had Mr. and Mrs. Met at his wedding.
What if I told you I stole that out of somebody's office?
I wouldn't be surprised. Probably stole that out of Al's office. Probably sitting on the desk and said,
no.
Oh, let's give this to Boomer.
No, he'll love it.
Something else.
It wasn't out of Al's office.
Big Hurl's office?
Probably took it out of Big Hurl's office.
It's on the table, yeah.
He probably didn't think that he deserved it. So, therefore, you stole it. You gave it to me. Now, I can give it away to somebody.
Well, I felt like, you know, we should have it. Other than, you know, instead of him. That's what I thought.
Right.
I figured, hey, I'll give this to Boomer. Just go waltz right in there and steal his stuff.
I know somebody
and give it to Boomer.
Who has a son that is a huge Mets fan.
Do you?
That would probably love this.
Okay. I mean, I have Mets fans in my family,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but you gave it to me. It's my... Now it's mine. Right now, it's mine.
It's really Big Hurls.
Your mom loves the Mets.
Yeah, my mom loves the Mets. She would love that thing.
Yeah, but why did you give it to me then? Because and why are you complaining about it if it's on the floor, if it means so much to you?
It does. What means something to me.
That you stole it from me.
I put my ass on the line. I put my ass in the jackpot for you. I stole that thing because I thought you deserved it.
Oh, I appreciate it.
And I wanted to hand it to you on the day that we said goodbye to Jose Iglesias. And not only did you throw it on the floor upside down with the autograph on it, you also now are thinking about who you're re-gifting it to.
By the way, I didn't put it on the floor upside down. It fell.
I think we just give it back to Big Hurls and end this whole thing.
No, I'm not doing that.
Why not?
Because I have somebody that I'm thinking about.
Oh, I have somebody that I'm thinking about.
Now, you already gave it to me.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm thinking about somebody else now.
Right.
Since you're about to get rid of it.
Yeah, whatever. Let's go to Jeff in Hamilton. Jeff, what's happening?
Going on this morning?
Oh, not much. What's going on with you?
I'm great. I'm a huge, huge Rangers fan like you.
Yep.
And I heard you before about Mikko Rantanen, and while I see the temptation there, I'm going to ask you a quick question as a Rangers fan. Besides defense, where are the Rangers the weakest?
Center.
Besides defense. Center.
Yes.
Rantanen plays right wing, and we have Hoffman coming up the pipe. We need a superstar that plays center. We don't need another wing, and I hate to say this, we don't need another European. We need a rugged Canadian who plays center. This team is weak up the middle. This team has an issue with softness for the most part. I like the Miller acquisition. I'm sure you do, too, because he definitely brings a rugged play. We do not need another fancy schmancy European guy on the wing. We already have that.
All right. Okay.
We need a center, and we do need a superstar. I agree with
you.
Yes. And I can see it happening.
I can see it happening, too, Jeff. And I'm with you. I think most Ranger fans understand what we've seen and what we've watched this year and how disappointed we've become.
He's a show killer.
There you go. But, yeah, just
I got a guy for you. Why don't you go trade for Sidney Crosby?
Yeah, okay. I don't think Sidney Crosby wants to come to New York. I wonder if they'll do with him what, well, he actually has won Stanley Cups. But, and again, he was unbelievable last night, and he's been hurt. And all of a sudden, he plays for Canada and puts that jersey on. Next thing you know, he comes into Super Sid.
Mm. Well, why don't you make a deal? Get him to New York.
Nah.
Finish his career here as a Ranger.
No, we don't need that.
You don't need that?
No.
One of the great players of all time?
100% in his late 30s. No, we don't need that.
Hey, solidify the organization. You got your center. Your rugged center.
Yeah, we have
that the guys asking for.
Yeah, well,
the rugged non-European center.
I'm just saying, this guy does not sign a contract extension with Carolina, I would just keep an eye on that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
That's all.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You know when someone sends you a text and then you look back and like the last text that they sent you, you forgot to respond to? It's got to happen to you a lot, I would imagine. Everybody reaching out to you. You know?
Yeah, every now and again, I would think.
Well, this happened to me with Peter Schwartz, and this is a funny thing involving you, actually.
Oh, I'm not showing up in any of those games for NFLOB, just not.
NFLOB?
Yeah.
So we were talking about the helmets, and Peter Schwartz reaches out. He says, what if I got you a Ducks helmet? You know, he's trying to be funny. So I see this previous text he sent me, his long text. And I guess I either missed it or ignored it or didn't care, but then I reread it, and it's actually very funny. So he goes, I got an email from some guy who wants to do PR for the new arena team. He says that I need to have him as my PR person because he knows all the football people in New York. He said he wants to introduce me to Boomer Esiason and book me on the Boomer and Geo show.
Pat Boyle.
I don't know who it is, but it's clearly someone who is completely full of crap doesn't listen to the show and doesn't know anything about Peter.
So did Peter hire him?
No, of course not.
Okay.
I don't think
What kind of PR guy is that then?
It's a loser. It's a terrible job, clearly. I mean, and even in all these articles, like Neil Best wrote an article about Peter that Boomer and Geo were in it 15 times. Even the thing on the website's got our names in it. And this guy goes, I want to introduce you to Boomer Esiason. Unbelievable. They just toss That's your funny. Name around and yeah. name dropping your ass all over the place. Everybody on Long Island yeah. got a Boomer story. Hey, when you see Boomer, you know how many times I get this?
Yeah, I know.
I see Boomer. Tell him, does he remember we beat him in baseball? It was my senior year. And I hit a homer off him. It probably went 440 feet. Yeah, he remembers that.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah, it always gets, you know, crazy. I sacked him 7 times when he was a freshman.
You know, I did walk out yesterday and saw the construction guys out there.
I love those guys.
Those guys are great guys.
They're so happy every time I see them. Like, seriously.
They're working. They've got a job.
They're in a great mood. And I'm like, good for you guys. It's winter and you're doing all this crap.
Yeah, they're working inside. They're lucky. They're working inside.
But still, I'm like, man. It's like, what's up, guys? What's going on?
Yeah, like, high fives. One guy stopped yesterday and goes, hey, boom.
Boomer.
Right. Because I know you're a Ranger fan. I know you're a Knick fan. What about football fan? I know you're a Met fan. What kind of football fan are you? I said, well, I'm not my dad was a Giant fan growing when I was growing up, but they weren't very good when I was growing up. They were terrible.
Yeah.
So I really didn't watch a lot of Giants with him, but so I guess I was a Baltimore Colt Burt Jones fan.
Yeah.
So there, I had to tell him that yesterday.
Okay. But you're not a Colts fan today.
No. I'm impartial. I want the guys around here to do well just because we cover them and sometimes we interview them. And I hope that it goes well for them. But unfortunately, that has not been the case over the last, 10 years.
All right, I'll give you a question. Bengals, Jets, AFC Championship game. Who do you want to win?
Well, I was a Bengal for 10 years.
Okay.
I'm in their ring of honor.
I'm just asking.
50 years late, but I'm in their ring of honor.
I think it's a fair question because
I'm not in the Jets ring of honor, nor do I deserve to be in the Jets ring of honor.
But you're here now.
Right, and I played for a different owner than who's owning the team now.
But you're here now doing this show, and yes. Them going to the Super Bowl would be huge for us.
It would be.
So that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, but then I was thinking, all the things I could do as a Bengal, past player.
But you did that already a couple years ago.
I didn't go to that.
What do you mean you didn't go to that?
It was in L.A. We didn't go to that game.
Ooh. You must have done stuff, though, around
that. I did
that.
Stuff around it, but yeah, I didn't do,
Okay. So you're taking...
Remember, that was around... We were still doing Zoom conferences, Zoom appearances, things of that nature.
But you're telling me you wouldn't, all the things you'd be doing if the Jets were in the Super Bowl, too? I mean, it'd be just as many appearances, I'm sure.
It would be great, but I think if in the AFC, I thought that the two teams would make it to the AFC Championship game this past year, and neither one made it to the playoffs. But then again, that was my bias. I was rooting for both teams to do that.
Yeah. All right, so you'd pick the Bengals in a Bengals-Jets AFC Championship game. I'll remember that. When that happens, we get hit by the asteroid in 2032.
Okay, but again, I'm in the ring of honor there. So there's something, I'm attached to that.
Well, you're attached to the Jets, too. I mean, it'd be devastating if they lost the AFC Championship game for us, if they were going to go to the Super Bowl, and then we would go, and it'd be huge. Huge for the show.
Yeah, and I'd like to think that we still have very good, friends over there, and I'd love for them to win, sure.
Sounds like you're taking yourself over us. That's what it sounds like to me.
What does it sound like? It
sounds like you're taking yourself over us.
Yeah, selfish, probably.
Selfish take.
Yeah. I took myself over you guys when I stayed here in the morning, too.
I wasn't here for that.
Yeah, no.
All right, Jerry, what's going on over there?
Well, interesting you bring up the Jets. The Bengals not in this clip, but he can't help himself. This was Bill Belichick with Jim Gray.
How do you find a quarterback?
Well, you might take a look at the ones that the Jets have released, Geno Smith and Sam Darnold. They've done pretty well.
He just doesn't stop, does he?
He doesn't stop.
That's why that story about him reaching out to the Jets about the job just doesn't make any sense to me. Why would they do that?
Well, maybe they gave him a flat out no effing way, and this is why he's doing this.
Yeah, but he hates the Jets. He hates Woody. He kills him at every turn, but yet he would have come here and worked for him? Doesn't make any sense.
Money talks.
I guess.
Money talks.
That's how desperate he was to get back into the NFL, I guess.
Well, there's even a clip just in terms of money. So Harrison Ford is, what character is he playing now? Did CeeLo play this yesterday?
No. CeeLo was just playing Carlos Mendoza and Aaron Boone over and over again. He actually put Boomer almost to sleep to the point where Boomer had to scroll on social media to keep himself awake with the volume up.
Yes.
And that's not a lie. That's exactly what happened.
Okay. Well, proof that money talks. So I guess he is going to be, let me find out what the character is in this new movie coming out. He's playing the Red Hulk. And I guess he looks ridiculous in it.
Okay.
And
is that a Marvel movie?
Yeah, I believe so.
The Red Hulk.
So he's on MTV talking about it, and this is where we're discussing money and what you do for cash.
How easily can you silence the part of your brain that says, I look like an idiot when I'm playing a Red Hulk? You know, the behind-the-scenes footage of this, you probably look like an insane human being.
I don't want to break your bubble, but that's what the money is for.
Well, yeah, so that's true. Yeah. Especially these Marvel movies, and then that probably takes care of seven generations of Fords after.
Let me ask you a question: how old is Harrison Ford?
83,
and 82? He's playing.
Just Google it.
Oh my God,
decrepit ass superhero!
I don't know how old
he's.
He's
82.
He's 82.
He is.
Okay,
he barely got through the Jeep commercial.
What does that mean? I didn't see the Jeep commercial.
Oh, you didn't say it?
No.
How could an 82-year-old be playing?
I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. Marco put that in, so I thought that was kind of funny when he talked about money.
That is strange.
Is it because I understand he's 82, but he gets the superpower and he transforms into this monster hulking figure?
So he's in the new Captain America as the Red Hulk.
Okay. As an old Red Hulk.
Evidently.
My sex tape with the Hulk.
Sounds powerful. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. Here's Garrett Cole. So Juan Soto might be a Met. However,
the beauty of the Yankees is the ability to go out and fill the roster and fill the spots with the goal of getting back to the World Series and winning the World Series again.
And so likes what they have done, and they're going to be ready to rock come this April, May, June, July.
Hopefully August. He'll pitch more than 95 innings.
Well, that would be good for them, yes. In terms of the Mets, David Stearns was on the Pablo Torre podcast. It sounds like they were... My first thought is, how the hell did this guy land David Stearns for a sit-down? But listening to them, I think they're friends and have been for a long time. Here was Stearns, how he avoids the critics.
I am not on social media. I do not listen to talk radio. I am grateful that talk radio exists in this town because it provokes the passion of our fan base.
Did you listen as a kid?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So he
they're going to suck. He sucks. They suck. They're going to suck this year.
You have not earned the right to rebuild the Mets in the way that they need to be rebuilt.
You know what's so funny about that is they play a lot of BT and Sal clips in this podcast.
Oh, really?
Yes, they do.
There you go. Well, that's the baseball.
Two David Stearns?
I don't know if while he's doing the interview, they stop to play it or will post-production, they add it in.
Okay, all right.
For what they're discussing. Here he was asked how often he does tune in.
Every afternoon I listen to talk
you're
radio.
You're avoiding your childhood self.
And if at some point I'm not doing this job and still living in this town, I will listen to it again.
And then I edited
these guys had to go to like college together or something.
They clearly knew each other.
Yeah.
And there was a photo together.
Is it the Stearns like a Harvard guy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Every year they vacation in Dorkville together.
Same class, Harvard.
Dorkville. Dorkville, California.
Yeah, they go there with their families. So what were your shows of choice?
What did you grow up listening to, though?
Mike and the Mad Dog, Steve Summers.
Yep.
When I was growing up, Gary Cohen, Bob Murphy, Ed Coleman were the three primary Mets radio broadcasters. We listened to those guys a ton.
So there you go.
By the way, I found out how they know each other. In an article, Pablo Torre writes, I first encountered David Stearns more than 20 years ago, back when we were freshmen learning to write about sports for our college newspaper.
There you go. The Crimson, what do they call it? What do they call that newspaper?
It might be the Crimson.
Crimson Rag. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if that's getting money from USAID.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how about that? He dropped Ed Coleman's name.
Yes, he did.
Right. So, cool. Like all the others, Summers is a cool name drop, but Ed Coleman, that's when you know someone's a real fan.
No doubt.
Fan.
Well, how many years did he covered the Mets for 25 years?
Covered them?
Ed Coleman?
Yeah, I mean.
I thought you meant David Stearns. Yeah. Maybe longer than that, actually. It's right, because he just finished, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, what is David Stearns? He like
Chisholm scores!
is he 40 years old? Yeah, he is, right? It's got to be.
Right? I don't know how old David Stearns is. He looks really
39.
Young.
39.
There you go. Okay.
Thank you. He did not mention being a fan of Mark Melusis's, because he's been here for a long time. Melusis in Florida. This is a summary of yesterday. Obviously, I cut this together. Some good parts, but I gave you the good stuff.
All right, day two. Melusis family vacation. Disney. In like a nice 13-hour day. Hammy tightened up about 5 o'clock this afternoon. Right, Hammy. Highlights of the day. Let's see. Frozen sing-along. Kids fighting over popcorn. Taking a shot to the nether regions. A little bit of a ball tap for my son Paul at Toy Story Mania.
So there you go. That was his day.
There was another call that I was only up there for like a minute or two. I would have gotten to it. It said they just got back from Disney and it was a disaster. So
no, really? He actually seems like it's going great because there's not a lot of people there. They're there in February. Easy to get to the rides.
Week's the week. We're in the New York schools are
off. Is that true?
Oh, man.
Yeah, for a week, which makes no sense. I mean, I loved it when I was a kid, but like now I'm thinking about it. Why is there a winter break and then a spring break around? There has to be a reason why. But
I don't know.
That doesn't happen in other states.
when Gina moved here from Pennsylvania, she's like, you have a winter break for no reason? Just a week off in the middle of winter?
I mean, it's not like they get 8 weeks for the summer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, or another week in April. Or the 2 weeks they got around Christmas.
Yeah, it is a lot of time.
Yeah.
Good for them.
You go in that classroom. You tell me how you're going to do after about a month.
No, that's why I quit being a teacher and got into radio, because I didn't want to do it.
Knicks beat the Hawks in overtime, 149-148. Jalen Brunson, 36 points, including the go-ahead hoop. With 11 seconds to go, the Knicks are 36-18 at the All-Star break. They next will play Chicago next Thursday. The Nets also won. They beat the 76ers. What was the final here? 100-96, 20th win of the season for the Nets. Also, I got to get you some audio. It was the Cavs-Raptors game, I believe. Okay. I believe Tristan Thompson dunked at the end when they were up by 20 points, and you had almost a brouhaha.
Everybody got mad.
Yes,
everybody
as Al would say, they broke the unwritten rules.
It's like taking a slap shot at the empty net when you got...
Oh, for sure, yes. You know, very similar. St. John's did lose at Villanova, 73-71. Iowa beat Rutgers, 84-73. And we've talked about this. This Brendan Burke. So he was on the call on TNT for this Canada-Sweden Four Nations opener that went to overtime.
Morrissey went to the bench. Crosby delayed and sets up Marner. Full stride into the zone. Mitch Marner scores! Mitch Marner! An overtime winner for Team Canada!
And that was on TNT.
I can't figure out who, you know, I love Kenny Albert. Love Brendan Burke. Bob Wischusen's great.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just trying. I wonder who the Rangers are going to hire to replace Sam. I guess it's going to be Kenny. But Kenny does so many other things.
Yeah, but so does Mike Breen, and Mike Breen is the voice of the Knicks.
True. It's got to be Kenny then.
I would certainly think so.
I guess if he'd want it.
Does Kenny fill in for him most of the time?
Well, yeah, Sam, yeah. Kenny loves the Rangers.
No,
loves
I know, but Sam doesn't miss any games.
I know.
Anymore. So not like we've had a backup. Anyway, that was Mitch Marner with the game winner, U.S. and Finland tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So right before I came into the studio to get ready for the show, the last thing I heard on the loudspeaker that Al and Jerry were talking about was the Netflix Full Swing documentary in the trailer. And I'm pretty sure I heard Al say that they showed Rory McIlroy arguing with his wife on the phone. Did you say that?
He was definitely in a discussion about the situation and then referenced there's Netflix cameras here.
Yeah, because I got all excited about this, being the gawker that I am. I'm like, man, they really caught Rory McIlroy fighting with his wife over this divorce thing on camera and they put it out in a trailer? I mean, that's crazy for Rory to sign off on that and everything else. So I go back and I watch the trailer because there's a headline there. It says Netflix highlights divorce. So I click on that and I watch it. And it's Rory taking his clubs out of his trunk, just going, the Netflix cameras are following me right now. That's it.
That's it.
That's the whole thing.
That's it.
That was it.
And that's what Al was promoting today.
I mean, it was good because it got me to watch it.
Yeah, I bought into the headline and read the headline and the little blurb that went with the headline. I got scammed.
Got scammed.
But I was thinking that would have been some real, if they had him arguing with his wife on the phone, talking, you're like, oh, nah, I didn't have relations with Amanda Baliotis. I would have been like, whoa, this is the greatest thing ever. Montoya, por favor. McIlroy, por favor. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and no, it was not. But and I also thought there's just no way that they could possibly get that. Now, people were talking about how all the phones were going off and the headline of their divorce was out there and how it was a part of the storyline of the season last year. But they didn't have any of the other stuff. But I am excited for that. That is a very, very good show.
They do a great job. You know, it's like it's the behind the scenes NFL stuff, you know, all the hard knock stuff that they do. Is there a team that's doing a Hard Knocks offseason?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either.
The latest I saw with that is the fact that they can't find any team to agree to do it because of how embarrassed the Giants got last year.
Right, a Hard Knocks offseason. But there will be a Hard Knocks in season. Have they announced who it is yet or no?
I've not seen that either. The original Hard Knocks is the Hard Knocks training camp,
right,
which is the one that made the show famous, and then they do an in-season
all right,
as well.
So who would be one of those teams? Hard Knocks training camp could be the Green Bay Packers. I'm trying to think. You have to have a team that
has got a steady coach. You can't be a new coach.
And you haven't made the playoffs in a couple of years.
And you haven't made the playoffs?
Right. That's the ones that they force to do it. If you agree to do it,
okay,
you could be anybody. But if they don't have anybody to agree to do it, they have now made a thing where if you've not made the playoffs in the last 2 years and you don't have a first-year head coach, they can make you do it.
Okay. So who would fall under that?
So I looked this up, and it says Falcons, Panthers, Seahawks, Titans.
Ugh.
Those sound terrible.
Yeah, all of them. Every single one of them. I mean,
they're still a football team, and they're still going through like what every other football team's going through.
Got Michael Penix there in Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but like when the Lions were the team, we all knew that Dan Campbell had the personality.
Yes.
It has to be the head coach has to be the star. And that's why the Rex Ryan Jets one was so good. That's why the Lions Dan Campbell one was so good. That's why the Miami Dolphins Mike McDaniel one was so good, because he was so strange and we were going to learn him.
Like the Patriots never had to do it.
Well, of course not.
Yeah, but you know what? They didn't make the playoffs there for a couple of years, and they could have done it with Bill Belichick there.
Yeah, I think that was prior to that rule that was made.
I mean, the thing about it is the way that, you know, now Belichick is out there in the media and just completely exposed everywhere.
Yeah.
And yet he wouldn't let the cameras in the building for Hard Knocks.
I mean, you could see the damage that it can do, even when you get final say. I mean, the Giants in the offseason thing, that was horrible the way it worked out.
Well, I don't think that they expected, you know, Saquon Barkley to go off for 2,000 yards and win a Super Bowl with the new team that he was going to sign with. And lo and behold,
John Mara apparently did.
Right? He was the only one that seemed like he knew what the hell he was doing.
I mean, think about that.
But they did offer him, and he, you know, Saquon maybe just wanted to go to a better team. Maybe it was... I still think he made the decision to, you know, and it made the Giants look bad because he made the decision to go to Philadelphia. And I think he made that decision not because of money, but I believe because he knew that they were a better team.
Yeah, and I got to witness on the field when we did that Compass Media Networks game, John Mara and Saquon Barkley, and watching John Mara see, he was waiting to see if Saquon was going to come over to him. And he actually said to one of the Giants staff members, he goes, I was hoping he'd come over here. And then while they're practicing, he goes up to an Eagles coach. He goes, do you mind if I walk on the field and say hello to Saquon? The guy goes, oh, of course. And they went and they had their dap up.
And that's John Mara's class.
Yeah.
But it was, he didn't want to step over
exactly
red line, whatever.
I thought that was really impressive. Like, if that were Dan Snyder, he would have just walked right in the middle of a drill.
You know, it's interesting. The Bengals traded me to the Jets, and we played the Bengals that year. And I didn't have any animosity towards the Bengals because I asked them to trade me.
Mm-hmm.
And they traded me to one of the two teams that I wanted to go to.
You forced your way out like one of these NBA guys, huh?
Well, they had drafted a young quarterback.
I know. I'm busting you balls. I understand the whole situation.
And I was more than happy. Like, and when they traded me, Mike and Pete Brown, the owners of the team, the brothers, called me. And they were sad that they traded me. They didn't really want to trade me. Because we had so many great memories together. But, you know, there comes a time where the end is the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think with Saquon, Saquon had the ability to stay with the Giants if he wanted to, but wanted to go to a better team. And I can't fault him for that.
Nope. And they gave him more guaranteed money, which was a big factor, too.